And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ravel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Feliz! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome in, everybody. Here we go. 713-780-3776 tonight, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. It is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Last night, 17,000 fans, Soccer Mattered, down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Unfortunately, those 17,000 fans, pretty much all of them were there to see Tigres. I want to get your reaction on that tonight. The Dynamo in their first leg against Tigres of Mexico go down 2-0 in that one. We'll talk about that tonight. A lot to do on this show. Gaizka Mendieta, former player for Valencia, 300-plus appearances, Barcelona, Middlesbrough, Spanish national team, scored in a World Cup against South Africa. Gaizka Mendieta will be on the show tonight as well. We're talking a number of things with him. We'll also get his opinion of the growth of soccer in the United States. Hey, Houston Dash fans. You want more press? We've got you James Clarkson tonight, the new head coach of the Houston Dash in what is a World Cup year. And the Women's World Cup will take place in France. United States yesterday getting a 1-0 win over Brazil. But it was England and Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash that win the She Believes Cup. So there's a lot to talk about here tonight. We're going to start it off in this first hour, though. Greg Berhalter, U.S. Men's National Team coach, was here in Houston. We started the day here at ESPN 97.5 with John Granato and Lance Zierlein. Now, he was all over town today doing a number of things. I did a Q&A with him down at BBVA Compass Stadium. He met youth players from the Dynamo Academy. He was doing a lot of the work around promoting the United States against Chile, March 26th. Tickets at ussoccer.com. Why is that a big game for the city of Houston? Because we want to host the World Cup in 2026, and filling that stadium is going to be very, very important. And I believe there's only 9,000 to 10,000 tickets out right now. Why don't you get tickets for the U.S. Chile? Is there a reason why you don't want to go see some of the young rising stars of the United States? So I want your thoughts on that. But unprecedented to this morning, with John Granato and Lance Zierlein, three segments in morning drive time. That's a lot of soccer talk for morning drive time. And John, I got to tell you, John Granato and Lance Zierlein did a great job. Here's a little clip of this morning. And again, a big thank you to John and Lance for their professionalism, which we all knew they had, and their knowledge of soccer, and asking some fun, good questions.
You're taking over at a perfect time because the expectations are kind of, you know, didn't even make the World Cup last cup. So, I mean, anything you do, it's like taking over the Browns. Anything I do is awesome right here, right?
You know, I think with this job, the expectations are always high. You know, I was listening to you guys on the way in, and you guys are talking about, you know, how we should finish in the World Cup, and maybe we should be winning it or quarterfinal, you know. So the expectations are high. You know, global soccer is at a really high level, and Americans want to see winners, even though – you know, right now, you know, our place, you know, needs to keep developing.
So that was Greg Berhalter. I did an interview with him that's we're going to run tonight as well. Very interesting, talking a number of different topics, including Christian Pulisic and stuff. But that was from the morning here on ESPN 97.5 with John Granato and Lance Zierlein. All right. One of the big games this week to me, the game. I mean, this was an absolute joy to watch. It was a return of the 4-4-3. It was a return of Dutch soccer. Ajax absolutely dismantled Real Madrid and basically said, Real Madrid, it's time to start over. Let's go to David Neres's goal. This would make it 2-0 Ajax.
Dutch has jumped brilliantly there. In it comes. Chance for the second. They've got the second. David Neres.
And guess what? They get a second. They get a third. They get a fourth. They'd slam Real Madrid 5-3 on aggregate. They win the game 4-1 at the Bernabeu. And guess what? What a horrible week for Real Madrid. They lose, well, 9 days, I guess. Twice to Barcelona. Three straight losses at the Bernabeu. So you got to blow it up now. And I guess we all know what Cristiano Ronaldo meant to that team. Manchester United today, and this is controversial, and I want to get your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Penalty or not, that led to the Rashford tying goal, which would advance Manchester United, believe it or not, missing a number of players. It would advance them in the Champions League. And here's Rashford with the penalty that would do it.
And he's given the penalty.
Oh, my word.
Goodness me. A VAR awarded penalty right at the end. Up steps Rashford. And fires it in. And fires Manchester United surely into the last eight of the Champions League.
Unbelievable. And then last night, 17,000 people. Quite the international atmosphere. The Houston Dynamo taking on Tigres. Enter Valencia would get the first goal in this game. The Dynamo compete well, I think, for the first 60 to 70 minutes, and then you just got the sense it was Tigres time.
Sigue Rodriguez. Sigue el Chaka. Ahí está la triangulación para Enner, la devolución. Golazo. Golazo.
More CONCACAF Champions League tonight. Right now, Sporting Kansas City in action, but the bigger one may be, might be later on tonight, Atlanta United taking on Monterrey. Now, by the way, Tigres has their Clásico against Monterrey this weekend. And by the way, there's only a point that separates those two at the top of Liga MX. So let's take some phone calls. A lot of good topics there. 713-780-3776. We'll start it off. Nesto. What's on your mind, Nesto?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. This Champions League has got to be one of the most exciting ones that I've watched in a while.
Because?
A lot of big clubs are not showing up, being a little cocky, and getting beaten by teams that are hungry, aggressive, and not scared. For instance, the biggest one I'd say probably be the Ajax and Real Madrid game. I came in and played a 4-3-3. We're not scared to attack Madrid. And it could have been bigger than 4-1. Could have easily been 6-1.
It was unbelievable the amount of chances they had. And they never took their foot off the pedal, which I absolutely loved. You know, at 2-0, they didn't say, okay, we're going to drop off and sit deep. That's not the Dutch way. But to see the 4-3-3 work like that in the vein of traditional Dutch football, you know, the whole time I'm watching that game, I'm thinking about Johan Cruyff.
Oh, absolutely. I was feeling the same way. And you could honestly tell that the way that they set up with those young players, and I think they even mentioned it during the game, that that the combination of salary of all the players on the Dutch team on the starting lineup is the equivalent of Bale's salary in one season.
Yeah, and those are great.
So that shows what they've done with that program there and that philosophy of football to continue to still produce such great talent, which Barcelona has picked up one of their talented players, Mr. De Jong, and possibly even Matthias De Ligt in the summer, but we'll see how that goes, hopefully. But, yes, I mean, they showed their talent and they showed what they can do. And I think they're going to really be a threat in the Champions League this season.
So here's the first thing I would say, can Ajax win the tournament? Before you answer that, though, what it did prove was this, that with a plan, that with youth development, that with confidence, you can go in and it doesn't matter what the dollars are.
Honestly, we
can talk about the differences in dollars. Great. But you know what? I didn't care about that when the Dynamo took on Tigres last night. You got a shot to win, and you can win, and it's possible, and that's why Ajax really kind of makes that statement. Now, I would ask you, can they win the tournament?
I don't think they can win the tournament, you know, just because you still have teams like Man City, you know, who play that famous style of football, but at a higher level. Barcelona's still there. And it's still going to be a little difficult for them to get past teams like that. If they come against someone like maybe Atletico Madrid, if they go on and pass Juve, they're going to be extremely hard to break down. And that's when you need that senior talent to get that little step over those big teams like that. And I don't know if Ajax is there yet, but they are really showing what a team like them can do.
Nesto, thank you very much for the phone call. Like your points, and Ajax thrilled me as well. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, sir.
We move it on to Jeffrey. By the way, we will give up tickets for the Montreal Impact game on Saturday. Jeffrey, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, how are you doing, sir? Good to see you the other day at the Clásico. And I just want to say keep up the great work. I just called in to comment on the Tigres game and the upcoming Chile-USA game.
Floor is yours.
Yes. So I just wanted to comment that I think the Dynamo did play well for the first about 65 minutes or so, like you said. Could have been worse. I think it's going to be a lot harder for them in Monterrey. I'm predicting maybe a 4-0.
You don't have to think it will be a lot harder in Monterrey. I don't think there's any question. Listen, I want to flip it on you. I want to flip it on you, and I want to say we always start with, hey, the Dynamo competed for 60 to 70 minutes, and that was great, mm-hmm. and they did, and I'm not taking anything away from that. Yeah. Why aren't we starting with what happened in the last 20 minutes? And what happened in the last 20 minutes seemed a bit inevitable because the Dynamo began to run out of gas. So part of it was Tigres probably began to put it into overdrive because of the quality of the players. The other part of it, the Dynamo, you know, obviously were fatiguing a bit because when you're chasing the ball like that and a team comes in with that type of possession and quality, they can suck the life out of you. They can pass you to death. So sometimes we need to start with, you know, why didn't we do more? Because I think we've conditioned ourselves to say, hey, we competed well, but, you know, yada, yada, yada.
The thing is, Glenn, they're really outmatched. They're really outmatched. The quality of the Tigres player. I met Edu Vargas at the airport when he came in, got to shake his hand and asked him if he was going to go back with the Chilean selection team for these upcoming friendlies. He said yes. I mean, he's the number two goal scorer in the history of Chile, and they're the back-to-back champions of America. We don't have that kind of caliber here in Houston. Also, Ainer Valencia plays for Ecuador squad. He's a top player in South America. So it comes from the management down.
No question, but at some point, how do you think we as MLS, Jeffrey, can compete? Do we get on the same schedule? Do we start to invest more? You know, because in some ways I'm tired of seeing Mexican leagues dominate, and we should feel that way. Yeah. And we should say, look, it's a good problem, but how do we beat those teams? That's the question that really needs to be put out there.
It's an investment thing. I mean, I saw Tigres lose to Toronto FC, so it can be done in an international final. So it can be done. Houston's not doing it. It's got to be the goals of the executives to compete at a top level international tournament. And I don't think they're there yet. So, but it's a good start that they made it to the tournament. They made it this far.
Yep.
But they just got to keep growing. So now that they've got to play with the Tigres and see what kind of caliber of a team that is, they need to keep striving to get better and investing. They got to invest in some better players. They don't have the attackers to do it.
I like the way you just said that, too, because this should be a great measuring stick. This should be a great source of motivation. There's positives you can take out of every game, and I agree with you. The front three struggled mightily in this game.
Yes.
Elise's touch was, I mean, he couldn't control a ball or a bag of cement on this night.
I don't even really think they had that much of an opportunity to even score one goal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I was right by their goals. I was right in the first front row. But the other thing, too, is that the management needs to know is a lot of those Tigres fans, I talked to a lot of them. I was at pitch 25 before the game. A lot of them are from Houston.
Oh,
so the market's
absolutely
here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. The Monterrey teams are so supported here to get into that mother load and that vein could be something incredible. Jeffrey, tremendous phone call, yep. Great insight. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, so that's Jeffrey. Good stuff from him there, I'll tell you. Dante, what's on your mind today? Manchester United and PSG, huh?
Yes. What is your take on that penalty? I think it was a legit penalty. I mean, you see Neymar's, you know, crying about, you know, the four referees that he's saying that it wasn't an actual. He doesn't agree with it. What is your take on it?
Yeah, Neymar came out and said the video assistant's a disgrace. I think it's a penalty, and I'll tell you why. I think what's hard to swallow is the guy is out near the 18. But he kind of turns his back, his arm is flailing, and it hits his arms. And I understand you can't jump without using your arms. But I think if he was straight up to the shooter, it may have looked a lot different. And he probably would not have been reaching and extending that arm. So to me, it's a penalty. You know, it's a brutal way to go out. It's a brutal way to go out.
Because, well, the 89th minute, right?
Yeah, and I think for the older set, you'll go back in the day, oh, they never would have called that a penalty. Well, we're not back in the day. We're in modern times, and the rules and laws are a little bit different now. It was a penalty. Give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, give him the job. You want to give him the job now, or do you wait till the end of the season?
Now, does this kill Mbappe's Ballon d'Or claim for this year?
Well, a lot of times it's guys who are on the winning end of things that win awards, right? I mean, that's another validation to people. Mbappe and PSG put all their eggs in the basket of winning this Champions League, and they get whacked again. And it's pretty interesting to see big money teams like PSG and Real Madrid really, really struggling. Struggling.
Is that a Houston Kulev scarf?
That is.
Oh, yeah, I just want to give you props on that.
Yeah. Oh, you're watching on Facebook Live? You're watching Facebook Live?
Yeah, I'm watching it on Facebook Live.
Bravo, Dante. Bravo. I thought you were going to say you like the Albert Elise bobblehead here, but hey, that is a Kulev scarf. Yeah, I appreciate that. Victor gave that to me, so we appreciate it. We got a U.S. scarf in here, too, that Greg Berhalter and U.S. Soccer left in our studio this morning. So there you go.
All right. Well, good talking to you.
Dante, thank you very much. We're going to take a break here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's get your take on the Dynamo against Tigris. 70 minutes. Dynamo competed. No question about it. You could see it unraveling. You could feel it coming. 713-780-3776. Tremendous measuring stick for the Dynamo at this time of the year. They fought. They battled. Joe Willis, four straight very, very good games and goal for the Dynamo. Front three struggled, though, against Tigres and Mexican League competition. I don't think any question. Kyoto's delivery was a struggle. La Pantarita, his control was off. Minotas then thus not involved. First goal, the Dynamo dropped too deep. They didn't get pressure on the ball. And then names like Valencia, Quiñones, I mean, these guys are incredible players. They can make one play. Vargas was banging away. In fact, Greg Berhalter called Eduardo Vargas a street footballer today, which I thought was pretty cool. What stuck out to you about the Dynamo Tigres match? We'll take Champions League talk. Whatever is on your mind. For me, I'm still thrilled about what Ajax did, and I'm looking forward to the Dynamo Montreal this Saturday. In fact, I've got two tickets right now. Pair of tickets, Houston Dynamo. Ninth caller at 713-780-3776. This is a 4 o'clock kickoff. It's also on Cube 57. Ninth caller right now at 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Montreal Impact, who come in with Nacho Piatti, who scored a spectacular goal last weekend. They come in after a 2-1 win over San Jose. Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in an accident, you want John and his firm to represent you. They'll work 24/7 nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. And by the way, get down to King's Court before the Dynamo Montreal game Saturday.
Could I come again, please? listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big winner.
The winner takes it all. You know you're looking at a winner, winner.
Because we're a winner. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Everyone's a winner, baby, that's the truth.
From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, we're all winners. Well, you know who my winner is? I'm going to give it to Ajax because Ajax gave us a sparkling performance. The 4-3-3 working at its best. 5-3 on aggregate over Real Madrid. They waltz into the Bernabeu. 4-1. Ziyech, Neres, Tadic, who had a goal and two assists, and Schoen. Incredible performance. More people talking about that performance than anything. More of my friends in my world of soccer were just all over that. And all I could think of was Johan Cruyff. So our winner, Ajax. Refreshing, a boost for Dutch football. And I guess the question is now, can Ajax potentially win the Champions League? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So apparently last night on the call of the game on the internet, the commentator who does a fine job was kind of going on about the 7-hour difference between Monterey and Houston, and hey, the Tigres fans have traveled really well. And I was about to say, yeah, from A-Leaf, the Woodlands, Pasadena, Spring, yeah, they did travel well. Our city, and we got to get this, folks, is full of Tigres and Monterey fans. It may be the most well-supported two teams in the city of Houston. Who knows? But the Tigres fan is here and alive. The Rayados fan is here and alive. And this is a vein, a mother lode you could potentially break into. The reason that I believe that there weren't a lot of Dynamo fans last night is there's a couple reasons. First of all, don't take this the wrong way. We're not getting as many authentic fans as we need supporting the Houston Dynamo. When I say that, I mean people that are hardcore soccer fans. That's a challenge for the Dynamo to get that fan to games. You can't just bank on soccer moms and you know, that crowd. You want to have something for everybody, and you can get all these groups in. There's other clubs around MLS that have done very well reaching out to very, very different groups. I mean, we have Asians, we have Nigerians, we have a huge Indian community that actually likes soccer, by the way. We have people from all over the world here. It's just a matter of getting into these communities, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be time-consuming, and it's going to be mano-a-mano going after people. It can be done. We could have Dynamo games that look like what the Tigres fans were doing at the end of last night. By the way, that was pretty spectacular, the sparkling lights when they put on their phones. So there you go. We did get a winner for the Montreal Impact game. And by the way, looking forward to that. 4 o'clock kickoff time. Had a discussion today. Hey, you can't put the games at 4 o'clock. You know, there's too much youth soccer going on. Well, come on. There's competition everywhere. If the game's at 7 o'clock, then somebody's going to say, guess what? We're all tired from the youth soccer all day long, so we can't come to the stadium. Enough with the excuses. I actually like these earlier kickoff times now because the weather's nice. And you know what? Some people are playing youth soccer. The whole city isn't playing youth soccer. Come on. All right, let's go to the phone lines and John. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. I've called to talk to you right about what you're talking right now about the Dynamo situation. One of the things that, you know, looking at FC Dallas, our neighbors to the north, you know, one of the areas they've been really strong at for the last couple of years is their academy. And now they're starting their USL team this coming year, which I think is going to be huge for them to give their players a pathway to the pros. But one of the areas that I think the Dynamo have really been lacking is they've had a weak academy for years. And while they have an affiliation with the USL team, they don't really have a local team, you know, that they can move some of these guys in and out of these under 19 academy kids, and they're not really placing an emphasis on that. And one of the areas that I think they could really draw from the city is getting a hometown kid, getting him, getting a pathway to the pros, and getting him integrated into the first team side, you know, getting that hometown hero. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on why isn't the Dynamo putting an emphasis on the academy, and why don't they have a USL team similar to the FC Dallas setup?
Okay, so a couple things. Listen, this is a topic we've talked about a lot. I've made it very clear that I, from a player development standpoint, and I spent a lot of years doing it, moved kids into MLS, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I just want people to know that I'm coming from a place of experience and I'm not just throwing this out. I spent 12, 13 years out at Fields here in Houston. Back in those days when Roy Reese had a club and I was with the Hurricanes, we had a lot of players going to Major League Soccer. Josh Gardner, Rusty Pierce, Chris Bondi, Sam Forco. I think Willis Forco, his brother, was even in there for a while. You had Eric Quill. You had the Baba brothers. And I know I'm missing. You had, prior to that, it was, he's the coach at Creighton now. Johnny Torres. Sorry, Johnny, who's been on the show, by the way. So it can be done, and it was done with a lot less resources back then. The Dynamo is serious about player development now. They have not been successful in moving people through. They did move one player through. You can talk about who's a homegrown. I talk about who's actually gotten into the first team and gotten minutes. It's really Memo Rodriguez, who came on against Tigres last night, played about 500 minutes last year. You do have to believe in young players, and you do have to play them, and you have to be brave enough to do that at some point when you think you have players of quality coming through. I agree with you on the USL thing. I would like, if it was a perfect world, you have the USL team right here in Houston. People can watch it. The coaches can walk across the field and look at it, observe. The fact is it's in the Rio Grande Valley. That's a fact. So it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And that, to me, makes it more difficult for player development. I think no question. And look, Dallas has kept everything in and around, Frisco. So you get that natural organic crossover, people crossing paths. And, you know, can you imagine if the USL team was here and Wilmer Cabrera and his staff walked over, sat in the stands, and every single guy out on that field knows that the coach is there watching them? What that does for motivation, what that does for possibility in a player's mind, all of those things. So player development's costly. It's a huge piece, but it's a huge piece of the Dynamo future. Now, on that note, if you go back to our earlier podcasts, Paul Holliker is now heading up the academy. I think he's vibrant. I think he's aggressive. I think he wants to do wonderful work. I believe in him, and I think he's doing really, really good work. But it does make it a little bit more challenging when your USL team is not in market. No, I don't think there's any question. And by the way, the guy who's taking the USL team up in Dallas for FC Dallas is Eric Quill, former youth player here.
Oh, yeah.
So they came in and, they're like a thief in the night. They took one of our diamonds, you know? We have so many good people in player development here. There's Josh Gardner, who is coaching a Sporting Kansas City Academy. He's out in this area. So a lot can be done. I think the Dynamo are moving in the right direction with Paul Holliker. That's kind of where I'm at on this. But this is a topic we've talked about over and over and over again.
And just to add on to your point, you know, Eric was the coach of the Houston Texans here, who won the Under-19 Development Academy with two players who are now playing professionally overseas. One,
Richards is at Bayern Munich, yeah. And he spent a year with the Texans here, and Eric identified him in Alabama, brought him there, and he just said, look, he's outgrown this situation. And that takes bravery, because a lot of coaches will hang on to guys because they're going to win a bunch of stuff at the youth level, and that to me is out of integrity. But he moved him on to FC Dallas. Now, the question I asked him on the show, why didn't you move him to the Dynamo Academy? And at that point, he was not willing to do that. And that's why Paul Holliker, I think, will get it in a place where ultimately everybody gains by moving that player to the Houston Dynamo. John, thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn. You're the best.
All right. Thank you, John. AY, what's on your mind, AY?
Hey, Glenn. How are you doing today?
AY, I'm good.
Yes, first of all, thank you for your reception, your warm reception last week at the King's Court. I really appreciated it.
Well, can I tell the story, AY, of how you got there? So AY called into the show, and then as he's calling in the show, he says, hey, Glenn, I'm coming down to King's Court. So he comes in off the street. He buys one of the Soccer Matters T-shirts, which, by the way, you can get at the shop on Facebook Soccer Matters. But it was great to meet you in person. That was very nice of you. Thank you, AY.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What's on your mind?
So, my mind is the Champions League. It was the Champions League for today. It was very interesting how Manchester United came back from thinking that they were eliminated after conceding two away goals to PSG, and they never gave up. And it tells me a lot about the coach. It tells me about Ole Ole OGS. It tells me a lot about him. It shows that he has this team to believe that they can still make it. You see, that's the good thing about the coach. Whereas if it would be Jose, they would have packed it up ever since. And I hope Manchester United, though I'm not a Manchester United fan, they should sign him. They should sign him. If you sign him for at least 5 years.
Would you sign him now? That's a good one to put out there to everybody. 713-780-3776. Do you give Solskjaer the job right now? Do you wait and just watch and see how things develop? Or has he done enough to prove it right now that, hey, let's make him the Manchester United manager right now? What do you think, AY? Make him the manager now?
Now. So, Glenn, I have to go. I'll see you sometime.
Okay. You're the best, AY. Bye-bye. Well, you just heard it from AY. He says make Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the manager of Manchester United right now. Agree, disagree. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Greg Berhalter, U.S. Men's National Team coach. He will be on the show tonight. Gaizka Mendieta, former Valencia, Barcelona, Middlesbrough, and Spanish national team. He will be on the show. James Clarkson, head coach of the Houston Dash in a FIFA Women's World Cup year. He will be on the show here tonight. What stuck out to you about the Dynamo Tigres match? Was this a penalty today? It's pretty much everybody is saying it was a penalty. Go over to Facebook Soccer Matters and you will find it there. No question about it. People saying it's a penalty. I believe it was as well. No doubt about it. SciFair Dynamo's Youth Soccer Club, Soccer Matters. We got a Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic, March 17th. I hope I see you out there. $50, you get a T-shirt. All the proceeds go back to a 501c charity, Curing Children's Cancer Fund. You can sign up at cccfund.org or dynamosoccer.com. That's SciFair Dynamo's Youth Soccer. Let's get your calls in. Any other calls on Dynamo Tigres last night? What Ajax did? There's so much to talk about here in the world of soccer. Monterrey Clásico Regio this weekend in Monterrey, Mexico. There was so much going on. And right now, we got CONCACAF Champions League right now with Sporting Kansas City. Take a break. It is an Advantage BMW Daspit Law Firm King's Court break.
I'm Greg Berhalter, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, a big loser. By the way, a big shout-out to Michael Carroll for putting that together, and he weaves Frank Sinatra in there, too. Unbelievable. Of course, I love this Beck song. All right, so the big losers, Real Madrid, right? They go down to Barcelona back-to-back in about 4 days, 3-0 and 1-0. and then they get smoked by Ajax. And it's going to accelerate now a real change in what's going on at Real Madrid. So our losers, the bottom line, it is Real Madrid. And we'll give a little asterisk to PSG today for once again choking at the moment of truth, and some credit to Manchester United with a bunch of injuries. I believe right now the Panamanian squad has just scored against Sporting Kansas City. Yeah, so they have a 1-0 lead down in Panama. That's CONCACAF Champions League. Coming up later tonight, it's Monterrey taking on Pity Martinez, Frank de Boer, and Atlanta United. All right, so welcome back to the show. We'll take phone calls again, 713-780-3776. Let me get a little bit of news out here, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Dynamo Tigres match. Let's not forget, prior to that, they played Real Salt Lake. They got a 1-1 draw on that one. They did put together a spectacular goal, and here it is, how it sounded live on Cube 57. And this is brought to you by, let me just remind you here, one of our new sponsors, not really a new sponsor. Remember when the Gorgeous Gale was in operation? This is Peter Kingston. They have Hugh O'Connor's Pub now at 7620 Katy Freeway. The Liverpool supporters group here in Houston, those guys are out there. It's a wonderful place to go watch any games. But if you want to get into the sort of Liverpool supporters culture, that's the place to go. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway, right near the Marquee Entertainment Center. It's where the Liverpool fans hang out, and that's a really nice place. The food is excellent there. I love the breakfast that they serve on game day. So this goal of the week brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's.
Now, he's found space on the left side. Benotas hitting the near post. Oh, yes! It's Bearden with the outside of the right foot. It's Mauro time here in Houston.
So Mauro Manotas hit himself behind a central defender in that game, timed it perfectly, nipped in front of him, and kind of spears it in with the outside of his right foot. Wonderful delivery from Adam Lundqvist, and that was one of the better games I've seen Adam Lundqvist play going forward. Now, he did not play against Tigres, so you might think that he could get a start on Saturday for DeMarcus Beasley. And again, the goal of the week there by Mauro Manotas, brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. Get out there. It's a great spot. There's a nice little area out front. You can even bring your dog there and hang out. So Dynamo back in action against the Montreal Impact. One of the stars of Montreal to keep an eye on is Ignacio Piatti. Nacho Piatti scored a spectacular goal this past weekend. I don't know if we pull that goal call or not, Andrew? We don't have that one, but it was a short corner, 2-on-1. He absolutely abuses the singular defender that comes out there. And full disclosure, I will not reveal his identity because he would not want me to reveal his identity after how he got skinned by Piatti. But Piatti's a very dangerous player. They've also got Maxi Arruti up front, who's mobile. So this is not an easy game. Montreal comes into Houston 2-1 victors over San Jose this past weekend. So a lot going on there. Joe Willis, for me, in four games has been very, very good for the Houston Dynamo in goal. Doing everything as expected of him, making some critical saves. He did it down in Guatemala in the first and second leg. He did it against Real Salt Lake. We've been using a Supermo camera on the game, which slows things down, and we, during the game, had a picture of Joe making a fingertip save, and it was spectacular. Again, the Dynamo on the Cube 57, join Eddie Robinson and I, Cindy Bourbano. And we always do the pregame show out on the deck behind the tunnel where the players come out. So come on out there. It's a fun time. We interact a little bit with the fans when we're not on TV. We talk about the game. And it's a fun additional sort of game day experience out there on that deck, and we get to see a lot of familiar, nice faces there. So come join us out there. 713-780-3776 is the number. Galaxy are going to get Joe Corona, U.S. International. So L.A. not messing around after showing the door to Gio De Santos. Now, I know this has been put out there by Dynamo fans. Would you take Gio De Santos in Houston? 713-780-3776. If you could get him, would you take him? 713-780-3776. Commitment has been questioned on Gio. I don't think there's any question. Commitment was questioned on Kubo Torres when he was here. 713-780-3776. Would DeSantos move the needle here in Houston? Based on the fact that LA has let him go? 713-780-3776. Now, I'm worried about the Dynamo against Montreal because I don't know the status of everybody, but Tomas Martinez got kicked a lot in the RSL game. Was not available yesterday. Juan David Cabezas, not available yesterday. That one troubles me, and I'll tell you why it's troubling to me, because he missed an entire season last year. And that's why Dynamo fans are nervous. Kiki Struna. You would have thought in a New York minute, he's playing against Tigres. It's one of your big signings, so he didn't play, so he has an injury. I had heard from a pretty solid source that he had an illness. I was corrected today that he didn't have an illness. It was something else. So I don't know what's going on, but injury-wise, the Dynamo have a number of them. So we'll see where they are heading into the Montreal game. And, you know, one man's absence is another man's opportunity. So Dynamo Tigres, you know, talk to me about this game. What are your thoughts on it? 713-780-3776. Dynamo competed well for 60 to 70 minutes. I don't think there's any question. And then it just began to fray. You know, these Mexican teams are so good on the ball that they suck the life out of you with their possession game. And this is still an element that Wilmer Cabrera has even mentioned, that he says, look, we have to become a better possession-oriented team. And we have to have times and games where we hold the ball. It just can't be off to the races like a gun is shot. And I thought the Dynamo were a little bit overly direct against RSL. And if they can't get this possession-oriented side of it figured out, it's going to be hard to win road games. And you just can't count every night on the front three or four to win you games. And they had a problem with Tigres. Tigres made it very difficult on the front three for the Dynamo. I don't think there's any question. I think we saw that. We saw La Panterita's touch was off. We saw Kyoto's delivery struggled, I think. They had a hard time creating against Tigres. A couple times came close. Actually, there was a ball Marlon Hairston played with the outside of his foot, I think, to Minotas. That was a good one. And then, you know, you just these quality guys, Ener Valencia and Quiñones. Everybody's got to have guys that can make that play that wins you games. And those guys did for Tigres. Phone lines. Carlos, what's on your mind, Carlos?
Yes, hi. I have a question regarding the Dynamo.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I heard you talking about maybe signing Gio Dos Santos, but I think they should go with young, promising South American players. I see that they tend to focus on Central America a lot, and I think there's more potential in the South American players. Obviously, the very good ones go to Europe, but they're still very young, promising talent that the Dynamo could snatch up.
So you're saying they should build their resources. So they do have a very good young Colombian in Minotas, fourth in the league in goals. They have Tomas Martinez, who may be injured for the Montreal game. We're going to find that out. Was bought in as a big piece for Matt Jordan. You're right. They do have a lot of Hondurans, although I think we've seen some great moments from these Hondurans here. And by the way, Minor Figueroa has played pretty well for a guy that's had to log a lot of minutes as a center back. But those guys are Honduran legends. Albert Elise, Ramel Kyoto, Minor Figueroa, El Presidente, Oscar Boniac Garcia. My question is why I don't see more Honduran flags at games, and I don't know if that means we need to get into that community more. But we should be getting more Honduran and more authentic those hardcore type of fans out to games to complement the hardcore that we currently have. So you wouldn't sign Gio Dos Santos, Carlos?
No, I wouldn't sign Gio Dos Santos. I think, like I mentioned before, I think we should go with young, promising talent. Like I mentioned before, South America is full of them, and if we have, signed the right players in the right position, I think we could succeed that way as well.
Well, you want to know something, Carlos? MLS as a whole, I think, is probably signing more Argentines than any other players from any country. There are Argentines scattered throughout this league. They're good value. We've got Argentine managers now with Guillermo Barros Schelotto, who's heading up the LA Galaxy. We've got, of course, Matias Almeida in San Jose. So there's a lot of Argentine influence. Carlos, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to take a break here. Our thanks again to Kings Court. Get down there before the Dynamo game in Edo, 903 Hutchins, shadow of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors. Get in there. Say hello to Jay and El Batallón. Hey, we got to play some of the Batallón music. I got the CD. Manny G and the boys with El Batallón got that to me. So give some El Batallón some love, right? Somebody give me a phone call, 713-780-3776. I can talk cooking if you want as well. Music. This is Guns N' Roses. Well, what were you going to say, Andrew? Ah, Greg Berhalter is coming up, U.S. men's national team coach. This is from an interview earlier this morning. We'll take a break. It's a Daspit Law Firm break. Thanks for this good first hour of Soccer Talk. Great calls. We're coming up. U.S. men's national team coach Greg Berhalter.